The John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show, and you're a big part of it. Yeah, you get a chance to write to us. We get a chance to hear from you. You come in to MyNorthWest.com, although Andrew says no one does. Or the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line at 1-888-973-5476. All are welcome. One is chosen by the teeny tiny lady who chooses the letter of the day.
Okay.
Get that in just a bit. Oh, by the way, teeny. PETA wants Dr. Jill Biden to replace eggs at the Easter egg hunt with, guess what?
Potato. But,
yeah, you go.
Excellent.
She is on it, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
That girl's great. Got it going on. Don Lemon. Remember Don?
Oh, yeah.
He got fired from his job at CNN. He was like, whoa, I can't believe it. They got rid of him because he was causing problems with the other two women, and I don't know what the other stuff was going on. So he disappeared for a little while, hung out in the Hamptons. He's making a big buck there at CNN. Not many people were watching that morning show that he was doing. But then they kick him out. I don't know if he sued or there was some sort of stuff going on back and forth, but apparently he enjoyed his life sort of on the beach, as they say. So he starts this new show. What's it called?
The Don Lemon Show?
Debates and discussions or something like that?
Yeah.
So he sits down because he's going to have the thing on X, and he's got a big interview with Elon Musk, but apparently, it didn't go well. So then...
Hi, everyone. Elon Musk is mad at me, and I just put out a statement about what happened between him, me, and the interview that he is apparently so upset about. But make no mistake about this. This is going to be my first episode of the Don Lemon Show this coming Monday, March 18th. So make sure you tune in. This does not change anything about the show except for my relationship with Elon and X. And there's a whole lot that went down and I'm going to tell you about in the coming days. I know, though, that many of you were not happy that I was doing this in the first place. And you told me so. I just want you to know that I did this deal because not only do I believe in free speech, but I believed that this was the best possible chance for the work that I'm doing to reach the largest amount of people. So speaking of free speech, right, I thought the first person interview, no brainer, Elon Musk, the man who calls himself a free speech absolutist. I asked him to do it. He willingly agreed to the interview. Throughout our conversation, I kept reiterating to him that although it was tense at times, I thought it was good for people to see and hear our exchange and that they would learn from our conversation, learn more.
Okay, he's basically pipping, tune in for my first episode. Listen, it works out well for him if Elon Musk got up and walked out because it makes it more interesting. Apparently, the questions that Elon was being asked about drugs and stuff like that, he didn't feel like answering. He said, you know, this is no different than what you used to do on CNN, so I don't need this. And apparently, whether it was just cold and distant during the interview or Elon just got up and left. But Don Lemon setting out on his own. I saw a piece in the New York Post. He says, it's a lot of work. I don't have people that are writing for me. I don't have producers who are taking care of me. I have to answer. I got a book. I got to do all this on my own.
Aw. I have to cry for a minute. Can you excuse me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Don Lemon has to work. Okay, I'm good. Would you like to know what Elon Musk had to say about him?
Hold on.
Hey, everybody, it's Sue Bellenpalm.
Okay, go ahead. What did Elon say?
This would smell of a publicity stunt if, because it would be something, Elon Musk, nobody's really that worried when Elon Musk gets mad at you or when Elon Musk walks away.
Right.
It's a good publicity stunt. However, here's what he said about Don. He was underwhelming, unprepared, and dull. He said that he didn't have the producers in his ear. And he said that basically Zucker, the guy that was, you know, the big producer, the big guy behind CNN, used to feed him questions.
Jeff Zucker. Yes, yes.
Feed him questions or feed him information. And he would just repeat what he was told. And in this interview, he had a skeletal staff. And it really mostly was just his fiance.
Uh-huh.
And he said he just didn't. He said that Don Lemon lacked authenticity.
Hmm. So is he saying that Jeff Zucker would give him questions in his ear while he was interviewing people?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ugh. Yeah. I worked with somebody like that, and whenever she needed a question, she would tug on her ear, and then the producer had to push the button, the IFB button, and then like feed her a question. Because we were, two of us were asking questions. It wasn't a hard-hitting show at all, but, you know, stupid morning show sort of thing. But whenever she, like, she couldn't come up with any questions, so she'd just be tugging on her ear. And then all of a sudden, I'd see her tug a little bit, and then she would fire off a question.
Isn't that IFB distracting?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I got something in my IFB, yeah.
So good. To me, it was so hard to process somebody talking in my ear while I was talking that I would stop when they gave some kind of direction. And so there's traffic on I-95 if you're traveling over to the Wilson Bridge. Look,
sure, at this point you need to throw over.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I couldn't. I just,
five
I
seconds.
Was. I could, oh, it drove me crazy.
Dude, wrap it up. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I used to think wrap it up meant
was what?
Wrap it up immediately. But it you know, means at least finish your sentence. Well, I didn't really do that.
Yeah, that thing that I interruptible feedback, the interruptible, certainly true. And I've had it where I was doing something one time. I didn't know any of these people. They flew me in to do this. It was a live shot. And I'm assuming it was an accident. They had the button down the whole time. So I'm there doing my thing, and you could hear, this guy thinks he's so funny. Look at him jumping around and, why don't you, like, make another weird face? In my ear. I'm like, who are they talking? Oh, they're talking about me. Yeah. So when you see the people pull that out of their ear in the middle of an interview, it's because they're getting a thing called mix minus. That's where it's they say it, you say something, and then 2 seconds later, it's coming back at you. It's called mix minus. And that's why you all of a sudden see them pull that thing out, or they don't like the people talking to them the whole time. And you're like, ooh, bad stuff must be going on back behind the video village there. So Don's back out again. And these guys that try to do this, like Bill O'Reilly, had millions and millions of viewers and make like 30-some million dollars a year. He gets fired at Fox. He sets up his own. He's out of doing stuff at Newsmax, and he tried to do his own like 20 minutes news thing. He had 15,000 households. That's it for his first debut with Newsmax. And he's on tonight with Chris Cuomo. But a lot of these guys, once they sort of leave the big thing and they try to do it on their own, you know, you're never going to get the stardom that you had before. And if you don't have everybody helping you and you're on your own, it's tough to start all over again. And I guess he's figured it out. You know, he probably only needs a certain number of viewers to make this thing work. He can get some money out of it. But now it's such an incredibly crowded field. Let's see. Well, the big news is Trump and Biden get past Washington primary. Who cares? Listen, it was already pretty a done deal by the time everybody voted on Tuesday. But Trump pulls out with like 400 and some thousand. Biden's got like 500 and some thousand votes. So a bunch of people voted for Nikki Haley. Those names were all still on the ballot when you filled it out in Washington. Nikki Haley was on there. Vivek was on there. I forget who else was still on there. But Trump gets it. So now he will be the candidate. Biden is the candidate. Really no news there. Did you see anything you found interesting about any of that or no?
Well, at the risk of being the FYI girl, the couple of
I'm going to look up in the clouds in great confusion.
Okay.
Bum, pshin, poom.
Go ahead. Go ahead, FYI girl.
86% of the Democrats, the Democrats got 86% support. 74 goes to the Republican. Of course, that's Trump. The uncommitted people, you remember how they were protesting and going to vote uncommitted. That only turned out to be about 7%. But both Biden and Trump got enough delegates. And yet only 30% of Washington voters turned out or returned ballots.
Right, because it's too late in the primary. Washington doesn't mean anything. So it's like, why bother? Why bother filling it out? You pretty much know who's going to be in there. It's not a make or break at all. It's not like a Super Tuesday. So most people are like, who cares? I don't know what the normal turnout is, FYI girl. But I'm assuming that's probably just about average, 30% for the primary. And then
the expectation would be about between 40 and 45%. So it was lower than people thought.
Oh, okay. The big thing is who for governor, when stuff comes up for governor, because it's the final, the top two in the state of Washington. So you've got Bob Ferguson with his millions of dollars, and then you've got Dave Reichert. You got Semi Bird is in there. Mark Mullett is in there. I had heard from a friend that there might be somebody else stepping in as well later on. But as it is right now, in the race for money, Bob's got a boatload of it. He's got big plans. If you loved Inslee, you'll love Bob Ferguson even more. So Bob, Semi, Mark Mullett, and Dave Reichert. And Dave is putting on the blitz. They asked him, I think it was yesterday, somebody in the Seattle Times asked him, you know, what do you think about Trump? And then Bob Ferguson tweeted out something about Lego. He's dodging and he's not answering the questions and he's running away from it. And the press will continue to ask all sorts of questions of Dave Reichert, like, what do you think of Trump? What do you think of Trump? They did that to Bill Bryant. It was August 16th, 2016. Finally, Bill Bryant asked a question about Trump and they're like, oh, because they try to split it. The media tries to split it. They want you to turn out to be a rhino. If you don't support Trump 100%, then, you know, people don't vote for you on this side of the mountains. And if you say anything nice about Trump at all, then people sniff it out that, oh, you're a Trumpster and you're a MAGA guy and you're a white supremacist and you're a racist and all these other horrible things. That's a tough thing. They throw it at you. It's like you're in the water and they toss you an anvil. And written on the anvil is, what do you think of Trump? So that's the thing that Dave Reichert is going to have to deal with, because they're going to continue to ask him that question over and over and over and over again. CNN refuses to run a Biden attack ad, which I looked it up. I didn't think you were allowed to refuse ads. I thought that was not allowed. But they turned it down because it's under the First Amendment. You're even allowed to lie in ads and they can't do anything about it. But here's the ad that CNN said nope.
Lake and Riley should have been able to go on a run in broad daylight without being murdered by an illegal immigrant. But Joe Biden promised not to deport illegal immigrants.
Should that person be deported? That person should not be the focus of deportation.
Biden vowed not to detain illegal immigrants who cross the border.
No one would be put in jail while waiting for their hearing.
So when Jose Ibarra crossed into America illegally, he was not deported. He was not put in jail. Biden also supported sanctuary cities.
Should undocumented immigrants arrested by local police be turned over to immigration officials?
No.
So when Jose Ibarra was arrested in New York City for endangering a child, he was freed a second time. Ibarra went to Georgia, where he beat Lake and Riley to death. How many more killers has Biden set free? Building America's future is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Mm. Aren't they supposed to say allegedly?
Yeah, that's the problem. The Fox or CNN said the advertisement did not meet commercial clearance guidelines and policies. All ads that run on our air go through a review to ensure we are presenting factual and accurate information to our audience.
Well, you can lie in ads and they're not allowed to take them down. It's a First Amendment
thing. Television stations, radio stations, they're part of the public airwaves. They're licensed. The FCC has a lot of control over what sorts of things go on. And so you have to have basically a fairer approach. So you can't favor too much one party versus another.
The Federal Communications Commission requires cable and over the air stations to charge the lowest rate for a time slot to candidates during primary and general election windows. Keith Bachelman, a Western Illinois political science professor, says other than price, political ads don't have many regulations.
If you sell one-to-one candy, you have to sell it to everybody at the same rate. Beyond that, most regulations run into First Amendment problems. So it's really difficult to regulate candidate speech.
When it comes to content, the FCC mandates that stations can't censor or reject political ads, unlike consumer products, which the Federal Trade Commission regulates. Bachelman says this falls back on the First Amendment.
These candidates are usually considered public figures. Libel suits are much harder to win if you're filing a suit against a public figure. So in general, I think any kind of further regulation of this runs into constitutional problems.
While many of these rules were made to provide equal access, Bachelman says social media might actually be more accessible to smaller campaigns.
If people share it on Facebook, people share it on Twitter, it'll be on YouTube, and all that's for free. But
so the guy said you're not allowed to reject them. I thought you're allowed. It was in the 1960s or 70s. Some guy just came up with this ridiculous ad. It's just all full of lies and stuff. And like, whoop, you're allowed to lie. You're allowed to lie in these things because you can't take time to fact check it. So they just simply say, just put on whatever you're allowed to put on. But CNN, I guess, has some sort of standard for it. So,
well, it also could be what you pointed out is this guy has been arrested for this murder. Has he been convicted of it? So to assume in the ad that he killed her, it's alleged. He hasn't been to court. He hasn't had a trial. He hasn't been convicted. So and I think the other thing is the public figure thing. He's not a public figure. So if it's a lot harder to defend that over someone a private citizen.
They also said that the ad laws don't apply to internet, obviously social media, but also not to cable news channels.
Oh.
So they differentiate between cable and over the air, I guess.
Oh, look how smart you two are, huh? why don't you get your own show?
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, you know who I'm going to go work with?
Hey, everybody, it's Sue Bell and I just want to show you one of my favorite knit dresses. It's so easy.
Sue, we don't have time for this. We don't have time for your favorite knit dress. Here we are. Tini, get ready. The letters are pouring in. You got to collate them and staple them and get them over to Sherry.
I don't believe this.
No, you got to get them to Sherry. That's part of the job. She sends them all to you, right, Sherry?
No, she does not.
It is no big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal because you have a middleman, Joe, who sends them. She won't send them directly to me.
Joe Mama.
I'm going to break this up. Are you guys going to go hands-on, as they say?
You asked a question. I was not trying to indict anybody. I was just telling you the truth. I'm going to look up at the sky and act shocked now. What?
Did I ask you what time it is? You say, I know what time it is, or something like that.
No, you say, do you know what time it is? Yes. What a jerk that would say that.
These are all the things about how to
manipulate and control a conversation.
I need to work on those for tomorrow. In the meantime, dinks are taking over. Couples are embracing the dink moniker or dink wads. They're also known as dink wads.
Yes, that's dual income, no kids with a dog.
Oh, with a dog. Okay. So, like, here are some people that are bragging about it from Seattle.
We're dink wads.
Everything is cheaper because we split everything in half.
We're dink wads. We didn't want to rent, so we bought a condo together in 2020.
We're dink wads. We both wear the same underwear. I don't know who these people are.
Dinkwads, we max out our 401ks.
We're dinkwads. We got a dog because they're cute and cuddly like kids, but they're cheaper and they don't cry every other hour.
We're dinkwads. We watched our dog graduate from obedience school.
We're dinkwads. We argue daily over who our dog loves more. It's me.
No, it's not. We're dinkwads. Our version of dates is going to off-leash dog parks.
We're dinkwads. Our baby
Oh my God.
There's also a dinky, which is a dual income, no kids yet.
Wait, let me see how they finish.
Here is a security camera to watch the dog when we're out.
We're dinkwads. Our fun money goes towards soy lattes and puppuccinos.
We're dinkwads. While we travel, we drop off this dog to grandmommy and grandpappy.
Oh my God.
It could not have found a more annoying couple.
Oh, God, love them. Yeah, okay. It is a problem that people are not procreating, but it is also a problem when people do procreate and they only make one kid, and then, of course, that kid is super special and gifted, and the parents dote over the kid like they are the son of God or something, and then that's even worse. I think I'd rather have people not have kids than have a kid. This is David Sedaris' idea that one couple should have five kids and then no one else is allowed to have kids. And then you just pick couples that have like five kids. By the way, 47% of American surveys say they are in favor of big families, more than three kids. So that number hasn't really, it's come down just a little bit, but people still think it's a good idea to have children, but certainly not in Seattle and other places. They just they don't want it. They think it's too confining. It takes away their freedom, and they don't see many good things to be said about it. In fact, when you ask ChatGPT, write something in favor of large families, it says it can't do that. But then when you ask it to write about not choosing not to have children, it spits out pages and pages and pages of stuff. There is definitely a bias that people have against people having children. It's the weirdest thing. The whole zero population growth that, you know, if you have a child, you're going to destroy the world, or just one more person is just going to tip us over into the oblivion. But Dinks are back up again, Sherry.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it, the Dinks are way into the minority. It seems to me like, for instance, the Republican response after Joe Biden's State of the Union was a woman sitting in her kitchen at the kitchen table talking about families and children and all these things. There's a lot of people that can't relate to that, that don't want to spend their taxes on those things. And so I think it's a growing movement, which I'm happy about because I'm one of them. But I don't think that there's any real conspiracy against people that don't have children. Certainly when I decided not to have children a long time ago, it was weird then. But now they say 44% of non-parents between the ages of 18 and 49 are not likely to ever have kids.
Mm. Do they say why they won't have them?
It's all the things we talk about, the economy, the responsibility. They have more freedom. They have more money. It's just easier not to have kids. But if you have a calling to have them, then of course you should. But I don't think that either side should be vilified.
No, it is a choice. Certainly the laws, the incentives to having kids are there. The government gives you a break if you have a kid. They give you more money and stuff like that. But they need to step up and also help the mom so she doesn't have to go to work if she doesn't want to go to work, so she could stay home and raise the child. I do think something needs to be done there so that she can be there with the kid as opposed to, you know, dishing them off to a daycare center, which is incredibly expensive. I don't think it's the healthiest thing for the kid either. But having been married once when Paula did not want to have children, and we sat there at Nickerson Cafe on the 29th of January celebrating our 12th wedding anniversary, splitting a cheeseburger, even though we were Dinks and we had the money, with our dog at our feet, she said, I will give you a divorce because I don't want you to be 50 and turn around and blame me for not being a father. I think you'd be a great dad. So I can be gone by the end of the week.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Or were you in some way relieved?
I was sad because it was actually a great gift that she gave me, right? Because we could have gone on, we could have had our life and, you know, go to IKEA and spend weekends with Bill and Glenn and do all the stuff and go on vacations. But I did. I really wanted to have a kid. I really wanted to be a father. And she was like, I'll leave. I'll leave so you have that. That's a very strong woman to do that. So, you know, then off we went and off she went. And I ended up, listen, if you look at it on paper, it doesn't make any sense. You're like, I'm going to spend $300,000 on each kid. That's low ball. Before they're 18, I'm going to spend Saturdays out in the rain watching my kid kick another kid in the shins. They were playing soccer, by the way. And then just, you know, the heartache and the pain and the screaming and the yelling and then, like, having to ground Charlie. You know, we kicked her out of the house when she was 16, 17, because she couldn't live by the rules. Lace kicked her out, and she came and lived with me because we were separated at that point. So she came and lived with me, and she's like, it sucks over here, Dad. There's no food. It's cold. You're not home. I said, well, too bad. Should have lived by the rules. It was tough. So, listen. But the amazing thing is you experience the greatest of joys and the greatest of heartaches all right there with that kid. Yeah. Sorry. Can't get you to...
Not convinced.
Turn on the reproductive organs.
Huh? No, not convinced. No. Oh, and the other myth is that you know, you can get them to 18. You don't get them to 18. It's your whole life. You will be worried about them and wanting to take care of them and wanting to help them. Not that that's a bad thing, but it is an awesome responsibility.
Yeah, it is. But I'm telling you, the joy is amazing. Joe, you still haven't procreated yourself, have you?
Nope, we're trying, but it's a little harder than we thought.
Trying. I love that word.
Yeah, we know what that means.
Wilcox Family Farm eggs, the best. Oh, power-packed little protein. Tasty and fresh, Sherry. I go on all day. Omelets, scrambled. I never asked you how you like your eggs.
I like mine soft-boiled.
We don't do that here.
Okay. Poached eggs?
Here comes the mailman. Yeah, be all fancy. Poached eggs.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the
don't mess with him.
If you didn't know,
can't
I'm the mailman.
It.
Bring the mail to your door.
All right, don't mess with him. Nate, don't. Oh, I told you. All right, we'll get to the love of the day first. Take care of all the rest. Here we go.
Okay, this is off topic. Lisa in Bremerton on Hatch Watch. Hey guys, it's me, Lisa. I've been watching Jackie and Shadow for as long as they've been on Facebook. I feel so bad that their eggs are not viable. Hopefully they'll try again. Jackie and Shadow, we love you.
Oh, they should try again so they're not dinks. Doug in Mount Vernon says, John used to sing the song Mandy for his morning exercise before he switched to 100 Pagella.
Standing on the edge of time. Walked away when love was mine.
I saw him in concert.
Would have been a world if I built for me.
Don't say another word, Sherry.
Guys, it's in the sky that old Randy.
Well, you
came and you gave without taking.
Yeah!
Sent you away, oh man.
I ruined that guy's concert by singing right behind him every word.
Big babies. Whiny little crying babies.
It was unnecessary. 206. I love all your laughs, especially love them. Do it more. I love all your laughs. Do it more.
Absolutely love them. Do it more.
What laughs?
I think everybody's when everybody laughs or everybody's individual laughs. Okay.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Right. Dave in the 206 says, I vote peacock for national foul.
That's like if I take the peacock. Go ahead. Sorry.
I vote peacock for national foul as much as for the strut as the plumage.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Dennis in Seattle says, backyard barbecue? Are you guys still talking about that fella in Haiti? You know why? The guy that took over. You know why they call him barbecue?
Cannibalism?
He likes to set people on fire. Dogs, Digestion 425 says, dog makes bad digestive decisions. My grandparents' dog ate my colored crayons. Her poop was Technicolor and melted on that hot summer day. Oh. Here we are.
This is Billy D in Stanwood. My pit bull ate a half dozen 44 Magnum rounds out of a box she shredded, all pooped out safely.
What? Really? A bunch of bullets? Nick's dog, Mox, I can't tell the story because it would incriminate me. Anyway, ate some stuff that you're not supposed to have. 206, we had a black lab named after the Manilow Classic. See? I will go sing to that dog at some point. Uh-oh, letter of the day, Sherry.
Now it is time for the letter of the day.
Thank you, Teeny. Great job. Well done. Jacob, what do you think about Teeny's
choice?
You weren't listening! You were not listening. Sorry, Sherry.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Linda in Federal Way says, wow, what a ride. All of the emotions accounted for, from pure heartbreak for the poor Eagle couple and the sad state of Boeing, to pure elation when John sang Peter Frampton and announced that he landed the makeout. But nothing could have made me happier than hearing that Jason's squatter got yanked out by the sheriffs. I literally screamed out loud with delight, and my coworkers think I'm a complete nut. Thank you so much for sharing the update. P.S. I love Sue Bell from Palm Beach.
Everybody does. And we'll put that in our book, okay? Make sure to put that in the book, Sherry.
Put that in your book.
Put it in the book. More Sue Bell. All right, good. Well, we hit all the points. We still have one more hour. Everybody, hands in. Here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Do the greatest show and don't make any mistakes and have fun and lots of laughs. Ready?
Yep.
On three.
Two, three.
Do the greatest show and everybody have a bunch of
laughs. Show everybody laughs. Laughs.
Howdy, partner. Can I take your order?
Here's tea.